Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We will talk about mothers on this Mother's Day. The female on the thumbnail was a mother who was twerking, and she, in the movement of her ass as she was attempting to twerk, kicked her baby. Her baby was trying to get close to her mother to hug her. And the twerking movement kicked the baby down. That is unfortunately the image of the modern mother, completely influenced by African influences that are running into society, their biggest dream being to shake their ass in front of a camera. That is a problem. We have a big problem in our society with female behavior. And it's sad that we are repeating every year this Mother's Day, but we are not looking into fixing it. We don't have a political project aimed at making women responsible for their decisions, holding women accountable for the power that they have over children, the power that they have over the sexual market, and making them accountable for what they have caused to the current state of civilization, which is a complete destruction. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I've been mentioned in an Australian political issue. Somehow, you know, I've had many guests along the years, and it's never been a problem. But there is this woman, Posy Parker, who is a trans-exclusionary feminist. Basically, a feminist who actually defends females. And she came on my show, and she wasn't particularly far right, you know, but she came on my show, and we had just a discussion that was, I was challenging her on some stuff, and she was challenging me. But she has been... There's a whole community of people on Twitter who follow this woman around and who say, you are far right because you were on an interview with J.F. Garyippi years ago. It's one of the only guests where this is following her everywhere. And there are people in real life protesting against her saying, you were on J.F.'s podcast. And this woman went into Australia, whatever, something happened, and she talked to a politician. Now the politician is getting in trouble because the politician is getting kicked off the Congress in Australia. And I know that there are many fans in Australia, like, go away. I'm sure that you guys would appreciate that Papa JF is having impact in your country. Now, a politician has been kicked or something. A letter of motion regarding Moria deeming. It's a legal case that is open to get this politician out. This politician's sin being that the politician talked to Posy Parker, and Posy Parker had spoken to me 3 years ago. In October 2019, Keane appeared, Keane being here the name for Posy Parker, Keane appeared in a video interview with Jean-François Garyippi, a far-right YouTuber who advocates for a white ethno-state, and who has made videos with neo-Nazis Richard B. Spencer and Mark Collett, as well as former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke. The interview with Jean-François Garyippi is documented by the following material. What a career. And I have a color inverter for my computer because I don't like flashes of light. So the color inverter here is making it look weird, but here they have the evidence. Here he is. Here's Posy Parker, and here's Jean-François Garyippi. They were together. TPS 548. Posy Parker, one of the UK's most prominent gender-critical feminists, has appeared in what Mumsnet users are calling a brave, interesting, and brilliant video with a French-Canadian white nationalist. Ariel Suarez says, impressive credentials. I have to say, I worked a lot to develop this reputation. It's very hard to be named, the top asshole of the world while you're just a Canadian with a good heart, you know. But I think I've succeeded. I think I've marked history in a way that it will be hard to outdo me. Go away, says JF. Don't they say we are all 6 degrees of separation from everyone else? By this standard, no one can sit in Australian Parliament. Yeah, I mean, with the amount of Australian audience that we have, I wouldn't be surprised that we have other ins into the Parliament. But somehow this story is what attracted attention, and there's so much hate against Posey Parker. And ultimately, you guys are just disagreeing. I'm not even friends with her. I'm not particularly linked to her. But the leftists are hating her because she considers that the trans woman do not belong into the category defended by feminism. That they don't belong in the female defended by feminism category. That's what they took issue with. And of course, the whole guilt by association argument. Naberius says Sam Harris style guilt by association. Exactly. It's such a painful society to live in that these are made like arguments. And today I've had such bad arguments because I came out on Twitter against Mother's Day idea of celebrating women. I said there is of celebrating mothers. I said mothers are a problem. We need to fix it. And people came back at me, those female leftists, like, oh, you seem like a pleasant guy. That is not an argument, woman. I could be the most unpleasant guy ever. You're one of the fattest women on Twitter right now. What does it change? You're fat, I'm unpleasant. Let's get down to it. Do I have a good argument here or not? And people, you know, these women, when they argue, they can't help but reduce it down to you're undesirable. No one wants to date you. You probably don't have sex. It's like, you have no idea. You have no idea how much being an alpha Chad male in this society will get you infinite amount of sex, more than I would ever want. Twitter's new CEO is Musk's first step in admitting Twitter blue failure. Elon Musk pitched a Twitter that thrived on subscriber-based revenue. He just hired an advertising executive to be its new CEO. By now, you probably have heard the big news. Elon Musk is passing the baton to his newly announced Twitter CEO, former NBC Universal head of advertising, Linda Yaccarino. Musk is making it clear that his grand plan to make Twitter profitable through subscription-based models has ultimately been a failure. What would be Twitter's main revenue driver then? Subscriptions. Musk envisioned that Twitter Blue would have 69 million subscribers by 2025. By 2028, Musk estimated the subscription service would have 159 million users paying. Twitter Blue would be raking in more than $6.6 billion annually and more than $15.2 billion by 2028. Now, according to researcher Travis Brown, who has been tracking Twitter Blue subscriptions for months, less than 700,000 users are currently subscribed, and not all of them are paying either, as Musk gifted thousands of complimentary subscriptions to influential figures. So that would be the first accurate evaluation that I see of the number of users currently subscribed to Twitter Blue, because it's an attempt at truly measuring it. So Jean Supreme, do not post stuff during the show about anuses. I'm not interested. Even if it's on a subject of news, this sounds too dirty for me to click. I'm removing your chat. Please do not. I'm okay with links that point toward useful and pleasant stuff that I could click on and show on screen. If your news item has cross, nude, and anuses in the same title, I'm not interested. I'm in a different business. I'm taking a different direction. All right. Go away, says Jeff. Robert Burns was just on his show saying that Yaccarino has a long history going back years of liking conservative posts and Bible verse quotes on Twitter going back years before Musk took over and is probably a closet conservative. I've seen this evidence, and I agree. She is probably a conservative, but that is not necessarily the good news that people think it is on the right. The problem is there is no people in the world who are more interested at censoring us than the centrist conservative, the center-right, kind of. Precisely this Bible verse-quoting type of person. Because these people are the only ones who would actually benefit from kicking away the far-right. The far-right is good for the far-left. The far-right is... is interacting in an opposing manner to the far left, but from a social media perspective, it creates tension and it's good for them. You know, a Vaush, for example, is a guy who benefits from there being the most extreme possible discourse on the far right because he's going to present an alternative view in his shows and in his reviews. But the center right, they don't want the far right around. The far right is competing with them because they are taking, you know, they are presenting arguments in a more pure form that is likely to pull audiences away from the center right. So the center right, the Charlie Kirks of this world, are those who have the most interest. It's more easy for them to fall for censorship because they actually benefit from it. Shrigmamel sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hey, Jeff, I thought I'd let you know my friend went to the graduation party and was severely disappointed. There wasn't really any woman at said party and had to see the woman who he asked out with her boyfriend. He said that I was right about going to the bar instead. Well, he was aware of the risks, but, you know, at the same time, it's just one night lost. So emotions, ego broken, but ultimately there is no success in the dating world without being prepared for constant ego break. So all good. He lost his night and we gave him some counseling and we've informed him about the hot situation he was getting into. Thank you for letting me know. I always like to know the feedback from the tips I have given or for people who don't listen to the tips I give. That is always interesting to me. Even if all 700K users were in fact paying, Twitter Blue is bringing in only 67.2 million per year. If Twitter continued to grow at that rate, by 2025, the company would only have 2.8 million Twitter Blue subscribers, bringing in less than 269 million per year. That's far below Musk's plan of 69 million subscribers, grossing 6.6 billion by that time. That's far below the 4.5 billion Twitter made in advertising revenue in 2021. Hell, that's even below the roughly $571 million it made in 2021 from licensing deals and everything other than advertising revenue. So if we believe the image laid out here, if those numbers are true, it does seem that Elon is stuck with the fact that subscription payments, although stable and although having a very good base of revenue for Twitter, it's just not in the order of magnitude of what those big advertisers can bring to the platform. And that is too bad for liberty on Twitter, because it means Musk will be pulled toward these advertisers who will probably come to him with what they would like him to do and who they would like to censor, and they will constantly annoy him, and Iaccarino will constantly annoy him by saying, Musk, if you could give up this few hundred millions that you get from your subscriber business and start banning at least those who cause problems, I could get you billions and billions. And it's always money talks. That's really too bad. I hope that through this, Elon will stay attached to his initial feeling that he has to make a stand for principle here, and that he's not willing to sacrifice free speech for money. But, I mean, you've seen how Twitter turned before Elon took over. They had these trending subjects that were all paid for. Like, you could see it. Like, an article by some mainstream media behind a paywall suddenly showing in my trends. It's not the Twitterettes who have bought a subscription to the Washington Post and who are making it trend. It was all artificial trending. It was all paid for, and it's very hard to replace this money coming from the top, coming from people who have apparently infinite amounts of money. It's very hard to replace this with a subscription-based service. But I think there is some hope for Elon, because it's already a good basis, and nothing says he cannot increase the price of Twitter Blue. If you increase the price of Twitter Blue of a couple of bucks, you could eventually get to your target faster. P.S. Apostolos says, Elon wants to one-click sell products via ads. What do people really buy on Twitter? I mean, there are some good ads, you know, of these weird things that you can buy only, like these weird TV ads that used to be on infomercials. I've seen a couple of things on Twitter, and I was like, holy shit, that seems practical. Now, I never bought them, but I can see that these must be attracting a lot of clicks. So there is a way that Elon's vision can be realized. But I think that Elon is overestimating the current technicalities of Twitter. Twitter is a very pleasant place to be humanly, but it is still not a place where I feel we can do mass commerce. Like, if you're an author and an intellectual, it's the place to be, definitely. And if you have videos to promote, it's the place to be. But I don't think I could sell much on Twitter. I don't think I could do much other than what I do on Twitter, like being an intellectual, delivering my thoughts. But Twitter is not a particularly good blogging platform. Twitter is not a particularly good platform for selling. Even the advertising experience is kind of ridiculous. When you compare it to Facebook, Facebook will allow you to target people in a specific zip code. Because if you sell stuff, you know, shipping across Canada sometimes doesn't make sense for a lot of the stuff you would sell. You need local delivery, and a lot of businesses are totally focused on the local. If you buy an ad on Twitter, all you can target it is to country. So I have to somehow publicize to the whole of Canada if I'm in business. And it's like, there's many commerce that are totally pushed back by this. They go to Facebook instead. Facebook tells them, do you want people between $30,000 and $50,000 a year salary? Do you want them in that zip code or that zip code? You're only going to pay for those. And Twitter is not there. Twitter is absolutely not there. So there are ways that Elon can improve the Twitter utility and the Twitter experience without threatening free speech. I hope he goes that direction. New guy says people are talking more and more about creating public forum at a firing line. This is your specialty, JF. You can do this. Moderate public discussions on cutting edge thought. Definitely, I would be a good candidate for this. I don't know if I want to, you know, start again this whole the whole having guests all the time and organizing debates. Let me tell you, it's a big. It's big organization work. But if there was an opportunity for me to contribute in any way to this culture, absolutely, I want this culture to be reborn. Go Away says, JF needs to start a line of male grooming products and scented soaps for men. I would feel extremely guilty to do that. I think it's crap. This whole business of manly products, I think I can never bring myself morally to sell it. Like, it's so misleading to make you believe that by overpaying this soap $6 instead of 50 cents at Walmart, the fact is I don't feel good about directing my audiences towards something that I fundamentally think is bad for them. And the fact is, my tip to young men is pay the cheapest soap you can at Walmart, and don't overuse it. It's a crappy expense, and you're not going to be more attractive with scents and that kind of crap. Just be clean. That's all you need to be. There's no need above this, and you better put your money on the side, invest in Bitcoin, get a house. The house will attract much more reproductive women than your scent. Your scent will attract, maybe it will attract some woman. And it's an extra to have if you have plenty of money to waste, go ahead and throw it out the window. Sure, a little scent will give you a little edge in some woman interaction, but I don't think it's worth the expense. Blanket says, JF, can you please do singing live streams more often? Yesterday's live stream was very fun. Well, it did attract a lot of super chats, and so it's lower audiences live stream, and I get a lot of dislike when I sing. But I like singing, and I'm happy to do it, of course, especially if it brings more super chats, I'll do it. Doubting Thomas says, I've said it before, I don't see how Twitter isn't supported sufficiently by these big corporations with their Twitter accounts. Even with their new subscription requirements, there seems to be a lot of money left on the table. yeah. It's, well, I don't know what's the subscription revenue for the $1,000 check marks. There may be more corporations that eventually subscribe to this, and that may bring in some good money to Elon. We wanted to kill a white person. They're hunting us. They wanted to kill a white person. Two black men murdered white men, installing his mailbox. At Tuesday's hearing, the lead detective on the case was asked why the pair targeted Lawrence Herr. The detective said that under questioning, Taj Matthews said they wanted to kill a white person. Well, that makes it very clear. And it's really worrying, this situation, because we have the whole mainstream media, the leftist media, having developed this false idea and promoted this false idea that white extremism is the greatest danger. But the fact is that they've constantly, across the years, given plenty of anti-white discourse that in the mind of a criminal, it comes to be an excuse, and they, you know, they're looking at killing someone. They hear on CNN that white people are evil, and they do it. That is the true racist, institutionalized promotion that's happening. Shring Mamel sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, there's a very blackpilling moment in North Dakota. They have a bill to open up an immigration office it sounds like from a cursory view that the Republicans in that state would even more immigration, even though they take the most refugees per capita in the United States. It's good that you're following this to determine what are the safe states to go to. When I look at North and South Dakota, definitely South Dakota seems to be staying Republican more solidly, and North Dakota seems to be veering toward leftism. So when I recommend states, I'm always saying that South and North Dakota are okay, but I'm mostly thinking South Dakota. Patriot Front has made a demonstration in Washington, D.C. And I mean, look at this metro train. This must be the safest metro train ever. Look at this. There's not going to be a guy yelling uncontrollably in this metro train. You're not going to have to choke someone to secure yourself in this metro train. All right, what a special group. And people are speculating. I've seen misinformation on the media claiming that they are Fed agents. The problem is with this meme, it's never been proven in any way that they are Feds. The guy who heads Patriot Front came on my show, never looked like a Fed to me particularly, never did anything that would, and I'm not saying go with this group and trust them. Of course, in the domain of live protest in the right wing, you're always going to have Fed somewhere. But I have no evidence at all that they are Feds. And someone was pulling information about the website that they use, and they say it's a website that as that government contracts DigitalOcean. That is not an argument. The thing is, this is the cloud. When you start a little website, you have to buy server space or server or some kind of web presence to a company. That company will certainly have government contracts with the cloud for their cloud activity. It doesn't mean that you are associated with the government. So I found all of the arguments for Patriot Front being a Fed club, I find them unsupported. Why Black Bear says maybe they are Feds, but saying they are because they are in shape is lame. It's like give me some argument. I would want to have evidence that they are Fed, but I've never been shown anything. And it's becoming a meme of the center right, you know, the getter type MAGA people. Oh, feds! It's okay. Well, what is the basis for your opinion? Because that's just like your opinion right now. Ali Mayer sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, I was curious to see the egg pan. I'm assuming we're talking a smaller 6-inch pan. Also, how much butter are we talking? A half a stick for a couple eggs? More? I don't think I've been using enough butter. Well, since you send a super chat, I'll go get my egg pan. Now, it's a high-class egg pan, let me tell you. All right. Now, I had made eggs today, so it is dirty. It's a paderno pan. Paderno pan. Completely pristine, other than the fact that it's dirty with eggs. Extremely solid bottom. A paderno purple pan. Let me show you an image of it. Paderno anti-stick pan. So no, it's not a small pan that I use. It's a regular size pan. I don't know if I can get an image. Yeah, it's this one. So it's this one. Let me tell you, it cost about $80 to $100, I think. But since I've had it, if you take good care of it, it is perfect forever to cook eggs. Now, you need a spatula that is not metal. You need to cook only eggs in it, and it's going to be perfect. Now, what was I about to say? You were asking the amount of butter. There, you may have to have that much butter if you want a restaurant-style, super buttery egg. But the fact is, I don't need half a stick of butter for four eggs in this pan. In this pan, I need about a quarter stick of butter, even a little less, for four eggs. And so it depends on your pan. It depends also, do you want to make a healthy egg? Because you can definitely put less than a quarter stick of butter. Do you want to have a restaurant-style performance cooking? Do you want to impress someone? Of course, you put more butter if any of these factors is true. But for utility cooking of my own life and for, you know, cooking for children, and you want to keep it more healthy, less fat, you certainly don't need a quarter stick. You need a eighth of a stick. Just that's the minimum to have a very good egg. It's going to be pretty decent, and the difference is very small. When you increase the egg, it's really to reach that Gordon Ramsay level cooking, and it's for impressing someone, but you absolutely don't need it. Now, what's wrong with oil, says Real Base Talk? Oil is terrible for eggs. Oil is just not the right medium. There is nothing out there. You know, oil can do something okay if you're frying vegetables. It can do somewhat okay in certain meats. But oil is absolutely unfit to fry eggs. There is simply something happening at the interface between the egg white and the oil that leads to a layer of highly crispy egg that is simply not what you want. You want to cook an egg that is soft. And if you want to be soft, the oil just can't do it. There is kind of a rejection of between the egg and the oil. It's as if the egg was detecting that it's a plant material, and it just doesn't fuse well together. And the egg ends up cooking on a layer of oil rather than integrating with the fatty part of your material. Lou Pastor Ephra says, why does bacon need any oil? You're messing with me. I didn't say bacon. I didn't say, oh, it was go away that was saying, I use peanut oil when I fry my bacon. It's so good. Yeah, I mean, the bacon is something that fries in all sorts of circumstances. You can do it without any oil. You can also do it with butter. You can eat with oil. Bacon is good no matter what, but eggs, no. New guy says, no crispy eggs. Pourquoi? Because it's not good. You don't want to chew your egg. You don't want to feel a crisp when you eat an egg. My favorite cooking is over easy. and there's no ovary easy feasible in all. You will destroy your egg, that there will be a terrible texture, and it's just not good. That's why. Eugene Greenbeard sent a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, if anything, the feds would be the people insisting that white nationalists have to be rowdy, disorganized, out of shape, and violent to be authentic. Fed jacketing is a great way of ensuring nobody ever does anything as effective as the vanguards of 100 years ago. I agree with this sentiment. Patriot Front hasn't done anything that would justify this conclusion. Go Away says, any sunny side up chads in the chat? Sunny side up, the thing is, there is a gooey surface to it that is simply uninteresting. Now, there's a way to make a sunny side up and grab some of the butter and lay it on top of the egg so that it kind of cooks. But to me, it's just not as good as over easy. Trigmamail says, you are correct that South Dakota, it is better. However, stay out of Huron SD. They have a food packing plant. It brings in much unskilled labor. Huron now has a Democrat mayor. Yeah, of course, any of these states that is Republican, you want to stay far from the big centers that turn Democrat quickly. Polls closed and vote counting underway in Turkey. Erdogan was in early surge at the beginning of the count. However, runoff likely as Erdogan drops below 50%. His opponent has gathered 44.3%. But if you look at the potential addition of the whole opposition to Erdogan, this guy might have a chance. Might have a chance to get 50, 51%. And so I don't particularly know what are the issues in this election. All I know is that, bizarrely, Elon Musk has chosen to side with the Turkish request to censor some opposition. Telassine says, let's talk about hash browns and ghee. Oh, well, ghee, I've not used this as a material for cooking. I know it's fashionable and everything, clarified butter. I've never used this. I don't think I ever will. I'm too old at this point to start discovering another technique of cooking. I've done what I had to do in the cooking world. Callum Oxworth says, ghee is fantastic. Well, there you go. Higher smoke point. Ghee is used as slang for vagina in Ireland. The things we learn on this show, it's amazing. The amount of knowledge. How could you learn both about cooking and vagina slurs in Ireland? It only happens here, really. Someone claims Keith Woods plagiarized Infra as Defense of Marx. Interesting that as references the Cold War, blah, blah, blah. So this is a claim by this guy. As an expert of plagiarism, I have reviewed the claim. I don't think this is leading me to the belief that plagiarism necessarily has happened here. Here's the problem. You can show this whole amount of text and it makes you believe, holy shit, there's a lot of correspondences. But when I read through the Keith Woods writing here, I find only one element of similarity with Az. This element is Popper, not Marx, is the philosopher of the modern left. Let's find why. Karl Popper, not Karl Marx, is the main ideological forefather of today's radical leftism in America. I'm not even sure this is original material from Haz here, because it seems to me that I've heard this a lot. I've heard this a lot, and I see that Haz would have said this on April 10th. It seems I've heard this before April. this doesn't seem like this is a massively new talking point. I may have heard this years ago. So that's my impression. So the thing is, first, is it original writing by Az? I'm not certain. Az doesn't claim that it's is on Tot. And so I would hold on this. And as far as the correspondences, no, I think that Keith Woods has only one point of correspondence. So it could be that they have both been inspired by the same thinker upstream. It could be that they have both converged toward the same thinking. Or it could be that Keith Woods has read this tweet thread by Az and was inspired partly by it. But when you do plagiarism investigation, there needs to be points of similarity that are beyond just merely being inspired or influenced. There needs to be a taking of material that is recognizably from the source rather than potentially from much sources or from a total ensemble of societal influence. So my final judgment, Keith Woods is falsely accused of plagiarism. I do not think that he committed plagiarism. And I think that this guy has had a too low of a threshold here for his accusation. Now, it would be good for Keith Woods to perhaps come out and say, hey, here's who inspired me. Because it's probably someone who inspired Keith Woods. It's probably something that he was inspired by, maybe not has, but maybe someone else. And it's always good when someone accuses you of plagiarism, why not credit the original authors and rectify any misunderstanding? But that doesn't mean that Az is the initial, like, there has to be some investigation here. Where did Az take these IDs? Eugene Greenbeard says, this has been a common talking point since that webcomic about tolerance of intolerance and the open society from years ago. Keith only expanded on it. And Lindald Guntram says, this is not original thought. I heard this actually years ago. Yeah, that was my impression also. The cousin of the U.S. Marine veteran Daniel Penny expresses outrage at the charges brought by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. It's disgusting. Daniel Penny's supporter disgusted by manslaughter charges. I don't know. Manslaughter is always this. I don't know what to think of it. If someone comes and chokes holds me to death, I want them to be sued. I want them to be, you know, imprisoned. So I don't take issue. I think that a chokehold and a chokehold that is held for too long is a physical aggression that may be deserving of some trial. But we have to show understanding that you don't go into those chokeholds with the intent to kill. But that is an understanding basically to be shown by the jury. Unfortunately, our juries, they have little chance of processing this objectively, and they have more chance of looking at the races of the people involved and judging based on this. Now, Daniel Penny, I'm pretty happy that he did raise $1.6 million via GiveSendGo after being charged in the death of Jordan Neely, a crowdfunding campaign supporting the Legal Defense Fund for former Marine Daniel Penny, who was charged in the death of a homeless man on the New York City subway, has surged to more than $1.5 million in a few days. Daniel Penny Legal Defense Fund. It's good to see GiveSendGo not only rise as an alternative that is not censoring, that is pro family, pro-Christian, but to be as successful as this and to show that their system is not, doesn't have anything less than GoFundMe. They are capable of attracting as much attention and as much support. I'm super happy that gives Sengo is has now withstood the test of time. A go-away says, Jeff, will they bring charges against the black and Hispanic man who helped restrain Neely so that the Marine could kill him? Oh, that is a question. I mean, that is a question. The bystanders that participate in the past, like the Derek Chauvin case, they have been prosecuted. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were prosecuted, but it may also be a strategy of the prosecutor not to prosecute them, so that the question of the fact that it was a multiracial coalition that chokeholded Jordan Neely to death, they might not want to bring this to attention too much in the trial. So by not prosecuting them, perhaps they could try to not even get them as witnesses. Doubting Thomas sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, I just went on a long trip to China and almost all media Western sources of interest were blocked. VPN didn't work. Except your MP3 files on your website. Just thought you might like to know, and thanks for that. Yes, we are piercing the Great Wall of China. You know, being on YouTube, you couldn't have followed my show, but I'm on MP3, and the Communist Party of China sees no issue with this. That is funny when you think about it. That's the advantage of distribution, of decentralization, of every creator does their little thing, every creator finds their little ways. That is fun to know. I'm super happy to know that you were able to download my MP3s. Kanye West and Bianca Censori are seen out in Los Angeles. This is so weird. What is it with this? First, what's happening here? This is the barber shop look. It's like, this looks like the kind of coat you put because you're getting your hair shaved or cut or your beard worked on. Very bizarre look. And then knee pads. What is the point of boots and knee pads? What is this, some kind of protection for the tibia and for the foot? What the fuck is happening? And this woman, holy shit, she is like, this is what the white woman, this is what's happening to what the white woman in our society. She basically is looking more African than perhaps her ancestors. How does that happen? She has the hips of an African. She has the fat ass to be twerking. She has the gigantic boobs, but she seems as white as can be. How does that happen? Is there a cultural Africanization of the American white woman? I mean, there has to be. There has to be. And I said today on Twitter for Mother's Day, today is Mother's Day, and it's a perfect moment to remind ourselves of the absolute failure of the modern mother, beginning with the divorce rate of around 50%, 75% of which are initiated by women. After failing their husband, mothers are also failing their children by replacing family, patriarchal structures, and the religious education of children for state-sanctioned anti-natalist alternatives, including public schools and family courts. Mothers are also the most likely to fall for poisonous anti-natalist ideologies promoted in those places that seek to sterilize their children. This is not to mention the millions of babies killed in the womb for the hard-fought abortion rights that motivates much of the female involvement in politics. Modern society has endowed decision-making concerning children to women only, and they have in turn demonstrated that they weren't deserving of such privileges. Sure, let us celebrate Mother's Day, to remind ourselves that there used to be mothers who were worth celebrating. That is what I had to say about Mother's Day. There are people who have been agreeing. Some people were disagreeing. Tracy Dawson was saying, uncomfortable but true. As a young mother, I was often baffled by moms that couldn't wait to hand over their newborn miracles to a stranger so they could head back to work. Zero regard for our critical life-given role and the influence we have to shape the future. Absolutely. I mean, you are so privileged to be a woman and to have this chance that there will be people organized around you to help you get this precious moment of life with a developing human being. Your husband will help you. Your parents will help you. Everyone. Oh, and the government even wants to help you. Everyone is there to allow you to live this most beautiful thing. And it gets rejected by a lot of women. A lot of women are not even happy about it. A lot of women are looking for organization of kindergarten, daycare type of stuff. They're looking, what is my project to get back to work? I can't believe this. It's like you have been given the greatest gift. The greatest gift is not money. The greatest gift is the liberty that money could give you, just a little bit of money, could give you to spend this 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years with your child and raise them. And they spit on it. That is what's sad about the state of woman, and it needs to be fixed. There is no solution for this outside of a restoration of the patriarchy. It's quite simple. Female decision making is just bad, and we need to remove it. And we need to. That doesn't mean to remove all of it. Females will have self-determination to some extent, but we have to keep females from self-determining away from logic and rationality. Like the amount of divorce created is creating a zero-sum game with the time with the children. And it's time that the people who create that zero-sum game, pay the full price of it. So if you want divorce, you are creating a situation where instead of the time with children being something we can do together and both benefit from the presence of children, you want divorce, so you create a situation where the time with the children going forward will be either father or mother. Well, the person who creates this situation must pay for it. So you just took what was basically 200% of time possibilities with the child. You've reduced that to 100%. And now this 100% has to be split between two people. So as far as I'm concerned, if you cause a divorce, you shouldn't be entitled at all to time with the child other than by coming back to the home where the child has been produced and raised by the marriage, by the husband and you. If you want to take the child away, that should be an extremely rare and permission-based thing. Eugene Greenbeard says, isn't this in conflict with your eugenics-based view on people transitioning, etc.? Well, the thing is, I don't know. We may be trapped in a situation where there is no out for decent females to be farmed back into humanity. If there is, I would happily choose it. I would be super. If you tell me that there is still 20 to 30% of females in society who are decent and we could restore the nation with them, that would be a beautiful project. I'm just maybe a little too black-pilled for this. I don't know that there's even 5% of females who could do good decision-making. I see the twerking out there. I see the mothers with their child filming themselves for Instagram and for just personal narcissism. I see extremely bad decision-making here by women. And I don't know that I have hope that there's a eugenic path out. Because let's not forget, when you're a bottleneck of reproduction, you have the power to impose your conditions. So if all women of society converge toward these behaviors, toward the destruction of the family, then you're not going to get your way out of this through eugenics. They have to self-punish for eugenics to happen. But what we have in our society is that actually women who break families are rewarded because there's all these state advantages that come to them. And what we are really seeing is a disempowerment and an exclusion of the male from education and a takeover of these responsibilities handed by the woman to the state. I don't know. If there was a eugenic path out of it, it would be that there are some women who are highly reproductive and who are capable of evolutionarily outcompeting the association between the current far-left low-quality woman and the state. But the far-left low-quality woman is like 80 to 90% of the whole pool. I don't know if we have a victory possible there. Eugene Greenbeard says, yeah, it's probably in the low single digits from personal experience. Yeah, see? So we seem to agree that if there's a path to victory, it's thin. It's very thin. Chuck Garrity says, when society goes against the natural balance of nature, it crashes big time, as we see now. Yeah, I have no fear that the system will crash because it's a very unsustainable and extremely sick system. But when this crash happens, when this society becomes untenable, when we are so adoring of women and minorities that we basically pour all of our resources toward them, independent of their productivity, certainly society will crash, and then a more decent family model can emerge from nature again. But that I see happening, unfortunately, in maybe a couple hundred years. Ali Drummond was saying, I had to learn how to be a wife from the internet because I had no examples. I spent 2 years interviewing wives at a profit cost, so other women do not have to struggle as much. Check out that work here. So there are lots of people who are, they don't have good people guiding them in life. And that's not so surprising when we see mainstream media pushing something like this. Let us now praise single moms. can you be less evident about it? And look at this, with the girl boss supporting the big rock. It's like, hey, let's not forget that women are putting themselves in this situation first. They are the ones who are violently depriving their ex of contact with children. So don't then complain that I have to be a girl boss. I have so much responsibilities. No, you've been wanting this. You've been causing this whole situation. And this is why I was seeing statistics recently indicating that men are coming out of divorce at this point. Men are coming out of divorce unaffected economically. So I think there's kind of an adjustment of society where men are setting their lives expecting divorce and they're all ready to, you know, get back to work, and they're ready to, for the instability caused by their female, to settle in their advantage. Females are coming out of divorce with a poverty. They go down in poverty and economics for at least 5 years. So there's a dip in their life when they choose divorce. And I think that is great. That is great. It's a sign that the whole system is adjusting and that we're now making it costly for women to choose that direction, but they still choose it. Trigmamel sends a super chat. He says, I know all too well the family court system My dad had to spend 10 years in court just to get joint custody of my brother and I. Well, that is so sad, Shrink Mamel, but I'm happy that as an adult, you've recognized the injustice of this system. And I believe that if you can just say it to your dad, recognize that an injustice was made to him, and just spend whatever time you can with him, I think it will be extremely soothing for him, because it must have been hard to go through this completely unfair system. But I think that seeing you as an adult will be a full emotional reconciliation for your father. Seeing you grow into an adult who knows that this happened to him must be beautiful for him. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, one thing I noticed, however, is that there is no path to get a version of TRP in China. Even the Chinese Wikipedia article on it is blocked. Perhaps there is a good open archive for biology where a summarized version of the main argument of TRP can be placed in. I don't know. I mean, at this point, if you block Wikipedia, that's your problem, you know. but I don't know. Is it blocked because Wikipedia is blocked as a whole in China? Is it what's happening? There was a woman, Taylor Lawrence. Who is Taylor Lawrence? Is it the woman who docks libs of TikTok? Anyway, she was publishing this meme. Accomplished female founder building a massive and successful business, upending major industries. Men at legacy New York media outlets. Is this an it girl? And this was the whole, the female delusion that the girl boss story is desirable from the perspective of a man. I think it's a fair critique of this meme. You know, this meme kind of assumes, men who are not very good on the market, but these woman girl bosses are so successful, and it's like, boom! And they can't even see just how good women are. And so I just said, you know, woman, men are not attracted to a girl boss who made it in the corporate ladder. Because anyways, we know what this corporate ladder is, and we know how, if you're a sexy woman, it will just escalate you at the top automatically. You don't even have to be particularly smart. We know that this corporate ladder is bullshit. And these old stories that lead you to be on top of magazines is all just because you're sexy and because people want women to be successful. It's not indicative of any actual merit that you have. Now, I didn't say these things. That's what I thought. I said a very polite objection to the meme, and she blocked me. Taylor Lawrence blocked me. I didn't even get to know who she was. Pre-order my first book now, Extremely Online, The Untold Story of Fame, Influence, and Power on the Internet. Taylor Lawrence. Who knows? Well, she couldn't take a free internet man just commenting very decently on her meme. Why Black Bear says no loss? No, I don't feel that I have lost much in being blocked. What I do, however, if you block me on Twitter, I counter block. Because we now know that blocks count in the algorithm punishment. So I don't want you to get free punishment on me. If you punish me by blocking me, I block you also. So I will manually go into your account. Even it's hard because Twitter will abolish any link to your account. But what I do is I open a little Microsoft Edge page, and then I recover the nickname of the person who banned me. I type it manually in Microsoft Edge, which allows me to put it back on Google Chrome. And then I block you. I block you because I want, for every punishment that you give me, I want you to suffer the same punishment. It's reciprocation. That's what's happening. Mark Chengizi says, but if a virus were like Ebola with high transmissibility, then all these interventions would be justified. This thinking must be completely purged. Yeah, I agree. You know, Sam Harris was making this argument that if somehow COVID had been worse, it would have been easier to convince people and no one would have questioned the legitimacy of the orders. I say, yes, I would question it. First, it's none of your business how people interact with various risks. If me and some guy who sells meat at the grocery store and some woman who wants to go buy milk, if the three of us agree with the ongoing risks of being around each other, that's none of your business. And so you could have a virus running into society that turns people into zombies instantly and kills them within 30 seconds. That doesn't change. It's not the role of the government to order me about concerns around health, because the government is not fit to find the facts properly, to inform me about the facts, and then to do consenting for me as a medical decision maker. So there is no situation, even in a situation where the kill rate would be 99%, I could still think that I'm in the 1% of Chads who will survive it, and I could still want to be exposed to it. So we do need to purge this whole conception. It's a very leftist conception that it's the amount of harm that the virus causes that justifies the deontological violation of your rights. No, the violation of your rights is a breach of the whole social contract implemented in the American Constitution since the beginning of this country. And when you break it, you are violating my body boundary. Go away, says Jeff. Why didn't they criminalize sex during the HIV pandemic until they found drugs to cure it? Was it because politicians were pro-liberty back then, or was it homophobia? Sorry to ask, but I am a Zoomer. No, you may be trolling here. I don't know if you're asking for real. But if someone was asking this, the answer is if people had approached HIV with the mentality that they approached COVID, we would have banned gay villages, we would have banned gay sex, we would have banned so much things. But we didn't, see? And that is a big problem. It's a big ideological inconsistency. And they will make up all sorts of excuses like, oh, we didn't want to be discriminatory. But hey, you didn't mind being discriminatory against the unvaxxed 1 year ago. So what is this whole concern around discrimination? And the left, you know, really needs... The thing is that the left's conception of discrimination needs a precise label to attach to. They really don't care, for example, about discrimination against Christians. To them, you have to discriminate against what they perceive as legitimate victims of oppression to qualify for their empathy. That is a big problem. Rodila Sid says, finally, it's gotten easy to manipulate data to make people believe that it is more severe than it really is. Governments have now lost all trust and no longer have the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, which is why we see now regular vaccines are starting to go down in adherence. It's so beautiful. This is like winning without even having to do much work. It's not like I had to make years of shows saying, careful about the MMR vaccine. No, it all went naturally. And naturally, people have understood, if that's their standard for the COVID vaccine, what about the other vaccines? It's beautiful to see this. And yes, it's way too easy for the governments to cherry pick data and say in an early pandemic, well, the kill rate is 4%. 4% of what? 4% of what you know? 4% of what you decide to classify as cases? We don't know how much the virus is running out there and killing no one. We don't know about all these patients who never got sick, who never got to the hospital, who never talked to anyone about it. John Drake says, absolutely, I'd never take another vaccine. Yeah, me neither. I'm done. Kill me. It's like, I'm willing to be raped by a carpet of viruses. You go ahead. We'll see if I can survive it. But you're not injecting something in my arm. I'm done. I'm not traveling. Don't annoy me. I'm done. Local bakery is annoyed. There's a whole text displayed on this bakery. They do this whole text to apologize for the fact that their door is broken by vandalism. And they say, we have applied to the city's storefront vandalism relief grant program. If vandalism is so common in your city that you need a program for stores to repair their doors for free because they're being vandalized, you have to adjust your conception of policing. So they have spent $27,000 repairing windows at their San Francisco location, but they were denied their application. Your application was reviewed and was found incomplete due to missing proof of damage. In order to be considered, you must submit new application. This is an incorrect statement, as we had submitted the correct proof. Additionally, the proof of damage had been filmed and reported on news outlets across the country. Nonetheless, we went on to submit 3 more applications without response. So they can't get their door repaired, so they say, look, we've already spent $27,000. We can't get this government grant. You're going to have to deal with a broken door because we can't always repair the door. At some point, it's not viable for our commerce. Incredible footage showing the Russian missile strike on the Ternopil Railway Repair and Mechanical Plant this morning. So there continues to be strike against critical infrastructure on the Ukraine side. The little talks of the war progression are mentioning around Bakhmut, some penetration of former Russian territory by Ukraine forces. It is said that the Russian forces are backing up. They are fleeing some of these spots, and the Ukrainians are advancing. So that's the current situation around Bakhmut, or is it the 14th of March? Situation in Bakhmut via Brusinf. Units of PMC Wagner established. Oh, maybe March here means May. Maybe it is the 14th of May, but because it's written in Russian or Ukrainian or whatever, perhaps this is their way to write the month of May. So that would be a current update. I don't know that we have much to learn from this update. You know, you can speculate all you want, and the pro-Ukrainians are looking at this and they're like, oh yeah, we're advancing. It may mean nothing, really, because you can be advancing into a trap, you can be advancing and eventually be pushed back. Advancing merely on the ground while the rest of the territory is under control and you have the plains of Russia above you, I don't know that it means much. Okay, so Eugene Greenbeard says, backwards R is yeah. So that would be Maya. May. All right. So yeah, over interpreting these day-to-day wire briefings is a danger, and I like to remain rational and let some time, because we still don't know what a ground advance for Ukraine would look like and means, and whether they could sustain it against a pushback from Russia. Because for now, the ground advances of Ukraine have always been in places that Russia was fully withdrawing from. This is a ground advance in a place that there seems to be tension where Russia would be willing to push back in. So we don't know how long that could be true, that there are some gains made on the Ukrainian side. Taibbi fact check, Nina Yankowitz versus Fox News. So this was the misinformation czar who was named at the Department of Homeland Security before they eventually paused the project of the Disinformation Governance Board. She is suing Fox News. By turns, Fox described Yankowitz as moronic, an embarrassment to her parents and employers, and a self-obsessed social media neophyte. Hosts and commentators referred to Yankowitz as inter alia low IQ, illiterate, Miss TikTok meets America's Got No Talent, disinfo overlord, disinformation czaress, minister of truth, scary Poppins, a useful idiot, Yanko half-wits, a lunatic, and the wicked witch. Your Honor, I rest my case. Thank you.